Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Say Cheese and Die Again by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I just recorded a whole long intro, but it was all just about what's going on in my life, and it was uninteresting, and I deleted it, and now we're on to chapter 14. See how I did that? You don't care about me. You just want the goosebumps. Drinking a Four Loko, because apparently I am chapter 14 years old. May I help you? Asked the young woman sitting behind Mr. Sauer's desk. Are you okay? I stared at her with my mouth hanging open to my knees. Ah, like the cover of the last book with a horrible, the bad hair day. That's the one, yeah. That was stupid. I didn't answer her questions. I gripped the camera tightly in both hands, afraid I might drop it. Where's Mr. Sauer? I finally managed to choke out like a chicken. He's not feeling well, she replied, studying me. I'm Miss Rose, ooh, I'm substituting today. Maybe I could substitute for your girlfriend, because she's Miss, forget it. He's not here? I stammered in a high, shrill voice. She nodded. I'll be teaching his class today. Is there anything I can help you with? I glanced down at the camera. No, I muttered unhappily. No, you can't help me. The room was never this noisy when Mr. Sauer sat behind the desk. Kids were shouting and laughing and fingering and kissing. You know how kids are. Someone tossed a balled up piece of paper at me. It bounced off my shoulder and onto Miss Rose's desk. I heard loud laughter from the back of the room. Ah, dude, you should try hard not to be the kind of kid that people want to throw things at. And you should be the kid that people want to throw things to, like money, am I right? Yeah! We always give substitutes a really hard time. When a teacher doesn't show up, it's always time to celebrate. But I didn't feel like celebrating today. I was so disappointed. I started to my seat. Then I turned back to Miss Rose. Can I put this in my locker? I asked, holding up the camera. It will only take a second. My locker's right there. I pointed to the hall. The final bell rang. She held her hands over her ears. The bell was on the ceiling right over her desk. Okay, she said when the clanging stopped, but hurry back. I'm going to be talking about the subjunctive tense today, and you don't want to miss that. Pfft, I don't know about tenses and sentences, and I read like a motherfucker. Who's better at reading than old Dune? Yeah, exactly. Only reason I know about pronouns is so I can make fun of people on Tumblr. Speaking of pronouns, since this is a podcast, I have to bring up the Caitlyn Jenner thing, right? You want to hear my two thoughts? Well, you're going to anyway. First off, all the people posting in support of her are the same people, which, by the way, I'm not in support of her. I don't care about her. I don't care about anyone. But point is, all the people posting in support are the same fucking assholes that are like, the fucking Kardashians, the worst show on the planet. Yeah. It's terrible. I don't watch it, but I also don't post things about how she's a slut and nothing matters. You know, like, fuck you. You're either interested in stupid gossip or you're not, but you can't be like, I'm above watching that show. Congratulations on your big transition. Now, it's one or the other. And my second thought is, oh, great. Rich people can do everything. Awesome. Yeah, we already knew that. Rich people can do whatever the fuck they want. You and me, we gotta go to fucking work. Or else, oh, we can't miss a couple days because we don't get sick days. And great, now we don't have any fucking money. We can't pay rent. This is fucking bullshit. Fuck that. I don't care. It's just rich people can do whatever. That's the whole story of everything, right? You and me, I'm assuming you, but definitely me. We don't have money. We stress out. We can't do anything we want. You know what I want to do? I want to get all my teeth done up in white gold because it'd be rad as hell. That's a lot easier than fucking changing genders. Jenners, am I right? Damn, nailed that one accidentally. But yeah. So, point is, I'm going to start an Indiegogo to fund my new teeth. I'm sick of these fucking porcelain-looking ones. Porcelain? They're not white like porcelain. Oh, whatever. Anyway. Thrills and chills, huh? I thanked her and hurried to the door. The long hall stood empty. Everyone was in class. My sneakers thudded loudly on the hard floor. My mind was racing. Like Bruce Jenner, but not like Caitlyn Jenner. Too old to run. Thinking about Mr. Sauer and about the camera. I'll have to leave it in my locker until he gets back, I decided. I promised John I'd only keep it for one day. But what choice do I have? I turned the corner and bumped into Brian and Donnie. "Hey," Brian grunted. "Hey," Donnie greeted. They say "hey" a lot. I think it's their favorite word. "Hey-o!" All right, that's what Dune does too. "You guys are late," I said, trying to hurry past them, but they blocked my way with their big, wide, masculine, curvaceous bodies. "Sourball isn't here," Donnie said, grinning. "He's sick or something. So, we got a substitute." "Tell me something I don't know," I muttered. "So we're in no hurry," Brian said. "Why should we hurry for a substitute?" I tried to slip in between them, but they were too quick for me. They squeezed together, and I bounced right back off them. People shouldn't bounce off you. They need to lose weight. "We're going to switch places," Brian grinned. "I'm going to tell her I'm Donnie, and Donnie is going to say he's me. I've always wanted to be deep inside of Donnie." "Good joke," I replied, rolling my eyes. "Very original. Now, can I get by?" "No way," Donnie said, puffing up his big chest and leaning over me menacingly. "You have to pay the toll if you want to pass," assumingly into the boy's hole, Brian demanded. He stuck out his big paw for money. "How much is the toll?" I sighed like a little bitch. "How much you got?" They both guffawed and slapped high fives. They really think they're funny. "I've got to get to my locker," I insisted. I tried once again to push past them, and Brian grabbed the camera. "Hey!" I reached out for it with both hands, but Brian raised it high over his head. "Look, Greg brought us his magic camera to school." Also, ignore the us in that sentence. He told Donnie. "Oh, I'm scared," Donnie replied sarcastically. He pretended to shiver and shake. "But the camera's bad," Brian exclaimed, holding it out of my frantic reach. "It's cursed, Donnie. You remember Greg's report." Donnie's ugly grin grew wider. "You mean the report he got an F on?" They both had another good laugh. I'm assuming they get Fs all the time. Why don't they just invite him into their gang? You know, they can be big bruisers, and he can be the smart kid with the camera that kills people, and that's fucking rad. I watched that show, too. They both had another... Oh, I already said that. "Let's check it out," Brian declared, like Steve Brule. "Say cheese, Greg." He lowered the camera to his eye and aimed at me. "No, please," I pleaded. I made another grab for the camera, but Donnie grabbed me and pinned my arms behind my back. "Go ahead, snap it," he told Brian, like the angriest boppet machine in the world. "Let's put a curse on Greg. Snap his picture."
Chapter number 15. Shout out to the old satchels of gold on Twitter with a broken ass leg.
Yeah.
"No, please," I begged.
Donnie wrapped his huge paws tightly around me and pinned my arm against my back.
"The camera really is cursed," I protested, like a 99%er who can't change their gender whenever they feel like it. "You don't know what you're doing. Stop!"
Brian ignored me, of course. He held the camera to his eye and raised his finger over the shutter button.
"Brian, please," I wailed.
I saw his finger lower over the love button. Just kidding, it's a normal button. It's not a love button. Then a loud voice called. "What's going on here, guys?" Brian cried out and nearly dropped the camera. Donnie dropped my arms and stumbled back against the wall.
"Mr. Grand," I exclaimed.
What kind of cheap knockoff candy bar is he? Oh, man. Mr. Grand, I'm so funny. He's the principal of Pitt's Landing Middle School. Mr. Grand is young and has blonde, wavy hair and a really good tan. I bet he just crushes women. Ah, I see the next sentence after this one has crushes in it, and that's why I use that adjective. Or verb or whatever. See, I don't understand these things and I read like a motherfucker. Point is, I used it because it came up and that's why it was in my mind, because I don't normally use that for having sex with numerous women. Anyway, he looks more like a surfer than a principal. The girls in our school all have crushes on him. For once, I was glad to see him. "Where should you guys be right now?" he asked, glancing up at the clock on the wall.
"We're going to Mr. Sour's class," Donnie replied, turning bright red like an engine.
"We were just helping Greg with his camera," Brian added. He handed the camera back to me. "That looks like a valuable old camera," Mr. Grand said to me. "You should be careful with that, Greg."
"I'm trying, but these here jabronis keep trying to punk on me."
I said, I'm gonna lock it in my locker right now. I pushed past Sumo 1 and Sumo 2 and hurried down the hall. As I reached my locker, I heard Mr. Graham scold them. Get to class, you guys, and don't give your substitute a hard time.
Okay, capiche?
Okay,
Brian promised. No problem, Donnie agreed. Dune was excited about the drinking break. I met Sherry after school, and we walked home together. What's up? I asked. I got an A on my math test, she announced. Wait, maybe she was born a man too, because how else did she get A's in her math test? Burn, burn, burn. Big surprise, you always get A's in math, I reminded her. So, maybe I like to brag. I felt a little strange, tired, kind of weak. I stopped about a half a block from my house and tugged off my backpack. What's your problem? Sherry demanded. Why do you keep fiddling with that backpack? I think someone messed with it, I said, loosening the straps. I had it just right, and now it's too tight. I'm gonna put it on. I added that line to continue the rhyme going. Why would anyone mess with your backpack? What, is it full of fat stacks? Of that cash? You know? Because you're selling hash packs? To black dads? Damn it, Sherry demanded. She blew a bubblegum bubble nearly as big as her head. I stuck out a finger and popped it, which is really gross when people do that to other people's gums because their fingers have clearly been up their butt. Yuck, she cried out as it stuck all over her face. Are you impressed? That was my biggest one ever, she declared. Wish I had a picture of it. Don't say picture, I grumbled. Don't say the words picture or camera. They're total triggers to me right now. I had already told her at lunch about Mr. Sauer not showing. Where is the camera? She asked, pulling gum from her hair. Locked up safe in my locker, I said. I turned and saw Michael and Bird running down the sidewalk towards us. Did you tell Michael and Bird I have the camera? I asked Sherry. She shook her head. No, they'd be too upset. And after all the horrible things it did last summer, they never want to see that camera again. And neither do I, she added, glaring at me. Hey, what up? Bird called. He slapped me on the back so hard I stumbled off the curb. Michael laughed. Y'all doing anything? It says you guys, but I switched it to y'all. Even though I would have said you guys, because I'm from here, and people from the south say y'all. But sometimes I start saying y'all. We've already talked about this a lot in Goosebumps. I don't know what's going on. Not much, I replied, straightening my backpack. I still couldn't get it comfortable. It'd be funny if you straightened a messenger bag, it would just turn into a backpack, am I right? you know what I'm saying? Now I'm just stalling till I find my place again, even though I have a messenger bag by Coach. I got it used. Get your bikes, Michael urged. Come on, it's a great wet day to ride around. Sounds good, I agreed. Anything to get my mind off Mr. Sauer and that stupid camera. Let's meet at my house, Sherry suggested. I have to ask my mom first. Michael and Berg jogged toward their houses. Sherry and I crossed the street and headed to our homes, which are side by side. Mom and Dad were at work. Terry wasn't home from high school yet. This is the time I usually get at myself. I dropped the backpack in the front hall, pulled a box of juice from the refrigerator, and drank it in two long sips from the straw like an outlaw, or like Dune drinking liquor. I still felt weak, kind of lifeless, like a flaccid penis. I thought maybe a long bike ride would help get my energy back. My jeans felt uncomfortable because it was the 90s and they were fucking huge. A little tight. And by a little tight, I mean the bottom of them is only like, you know, 38 inches on each foot. I ran to my room and pulled on my pair of baggy shorts. Ooh, cool jean cos. Mom and Dad always teased me about these shorts. They said there's room enough for a friend inside of them. God, I hoped it would be Bird. But I like them. I think they're cool with a K. And they're really comfortable. I usually don't wear them when I ride my bike. They're so long and baggy, sometimes the cuffs get caught in the chain. I like that I was making fun of the long 90s pants, and then R.L. Stine put in like three chapters making fun of the long pants. But, you know, kids these days. I hurried outside and found Sherry, Michael, and Bird waiting for me on their bikes. Let's go, Gerg, Bird urged. Gergberger. Borger, borger, borger. Let's make it into food here. That was my Swedish chef. It's starting to get cloudy. I pulled open the garage door and stepped inside, careful to walk around the black oil stains on the concrete floor. Thanks a lot, BP. I took my bike from against the wall and walked out onto the driveway. Then I did my high-flying circus riding trick. It's my favorite way of getting on my bike. I lean on the handlebars and heave myself up in the air. Then I come flying down on the seat. Oh boy, it would hurt if I had testicles. Bah-uh-uh. You know? By the way, people always talk about kids' balls dropping. Don't your balls drop like when you're a baby? Like, I always remember having balls. I've never, you know, like they also talk about people being cold or working out and the balls going inside of them. I've never had that happen. It just sounds horrifying. My balls, my entire conscious memory, they've just been chilling outside my body, waiting to be injured. Anyway, up I went, pushed my body into the air, swung my legs in that motherfucking air, and dropped onto the seat, and both tires popped. I heard the explosion and then a whoosh of air as the tires flattened against the drive. Hey, what's going on? I cried, once again like a little bitch.
Chapter number, yeah, chapter number 16.
Whoa, Sherry cried. Michael and Bird burst out laughing. Nice tires, Michael said. Maybe you should go on a diet, Bird exclaimed. Huh, a diet? I repeated, swallowing hard. I knew that Bird was only joking, but his words sent a chill down my back. No ranch dressing for a week? No way, Jose. The snapshot flashed into my mind. The ugly snapshot from the evil camera. I saw myself all bloated and huge, like an enormous, saggy water balloon. Like yo mama! In your face! I felt my face go hot and knew that I was blushing. I saw my friends staring at me. I climbed off my bike. Guess I just jumped too hard, I murmured. Maybe you need a tricycle, Michael cracked. Dune drank Four Loko. No one laughed. Michael's jokes never made any sense. I squatted down and examined the tires. I ran my hands along the rubber and found two big holes, two blowouts like Pauly D's hair. And they were new tires, too. I dragged the bike back into the garage. I'll take Terry's old bike, I told my friends. I actually liked my brother's bike better than mine. It was a 12-speed, and mine was only 10. That's two speeds, you know? Everyone wants two speeds. He hardly ever rides it now that he's got his driver's license, but he doesn't like me riding it because of my sweaty taint. Better not sit on it, Bird suggested, probably referencing my sweaty taint. Maybe you should just walk it. He and Michael laughed and slapped each other's hands. Ha, ha, I said. You guys are as funny as a flat tire. No, we're as funny as two flat tires. Michael joked. Maybe you need a mountain bike, Bird said. Something sturdy. Maybe you need a sturdy punch to your face, I threatened. Yeah, how about get for two a punch to your face and punch hit you, idiot. Just don't sit on me, Michael exclaimed, raising both hands in front of him, as if to shield himself from me. Are we gonna ride or not? Sherry demanded, sighing. She glanced up the graying sky. If we don't hurry, we're gonna get caught in the rain. I eased myself carefully onto Terry's bike. Then I followed him down the driveway and into the street. We rode aimlessly around town. When we reached the long, narrow park a few blocks from school, we bumped onto the grass and raced as fast as we could. Bird has the best bike and the longest legs, so he always wins our races. After an hour, it started to drizzle, so we turned for home. I was glad. With 1D, don't get too excited, Caitlyn Jenner. Oh man, Dune's doing it again. My legs felt heavy. My muscles ached as we pedaled through the raindrops. I caught Sherry watching me, studying me. Despite the sweat rolling down my forehead, I suddenly felt cold all over. Why was she staring at me like that? I wondered. Why? But we'll find out after this sweet drinking break. The next morning, I woke up with two words on my lips. Mr. Sour. Ew, when you wake up with your teacher on your lips, it's not a good sign, you know what I'm saying? Sandusky. Today's the day I show him the camera, I told myself, stretching and yawning. And today is the day I get my grade changed. I stood up, still yawning, rubbed my eyes, and saw that my pillow had fallen to the floor during the night. When I bent over to pick it up, I felt a tug on the front of my pajama shirt. The buttons all popped off and scattered over the floor. Uh-oh. Clearly the Nutty Professor starring, who's the black guy that likes trannies? Eddie Murphy. Something about him getting fat. Oh, it's stolen. That's my whole point, which is a terrible point. Huh? I opened my mouth in surprise. I heard a long rip. It took a few seconds to realize that my pajama bottoms had ripped right up the back. Oh, no! I opened my mouth in a long, low moan. The collar of the pajama shirt dug tightly into my neck. I tried to loosen it like Johnny Carson, and both sleeves ripped at the shoulder. Wow. He's like the Incredible Hulk. My heart pounding, I straightened up and crossed the room to the mirror. My whole body was trembling as I stepped up to the mirror like a bulimic girl. I shut my eyes. I couldn't bear to look, but I had no choice. I had to see. I had to know. Slowly, slowly, I opened one eye, then the other. I took a deep breath and gazed at my reflection. Had the snapshot come true? Did I weigh 400 pounds? Chapter number 17. I leaned into the mirror and stared at myself. No, not 400 pounds. I didn't look too different. A little puffy. My cheeks were a little rounder. My shoulders were a little broader. Those weird pauses I put in everything. I stepped back to check out the rest of my bod, and Mom came walking into the room. Greg, what are you doing? You're gonna be late for school. Put your boner away, stop looking at yourself, and come downstairs. I spun away from the mirror. Mom, I grew last night. I blurted. I ripped my pajamas. She narrowed her eyes at the torn pajamas top. Greg, you didn't grow overnight, she said calmly. Those pajamas were always a little small on you. I turned back to the mirror. They were? Maybe Mom was right. Maybe I wasn't growing huge. Maybe it was all in my imagination. I turned back to her. How do I look? She shrugged. You look fine. I mean, do I look fatter to you? She studied me for a moment. Well, actually... Her voice trailed off. Actually what, bitch? I demanded. Maybe you'll put skim milk in your cereal this morning. She replied, oh, that mom's a bitch. But I kind of like her, because she introduced a drinking break, which I'm going to take advantage of and finish off this disgusting Four Loko, which is disgusting. I only bought Four Loko because I was getting tattooed on Monday, and it's now Wednesday, and I was like, I'm going to buy two cans of this so I can get super fucked up before getting tattooed, because I got the fucking ditch done, the inside of your elbow, which hurts more than anything. And that's all. It's done. Hi, Greg. Put on a little weight? That's how Mr. Sour greeted me when I hurried up to his desk before English class. His words sent a cold shiver down the back of my neck, which probably caused the neck to jiggle a little bit, just a little. But I ignored him. I held up the camera. Mr. Sour, I want to show you something. He lowered his eyes to the camera and frowned at me. You want to take my picture? I already had my photo taken for the yearbook, Greg. No. I replied. This is the camera, Mr. Sour. This is the camera that... He raised a hand to tell me to shut the fuck up. Not right now, Greg, he said, climbing up from his desk chair. But Mr. Sour, I protested. By the way, the entire... Everything I've read up until this point was completely useless, right? It was just prolonging the story an extra day by adding a substitute teacher, right? Fuck that. So lazy. He was gazing over my shoulder. I turned and saw Mr. Grand standing in the classroom doorway. Mr. Sour hurried over to talk to him. They talked until the bell rang. Then, Mr. Sour returned to the front of the room to begin class. I'm sorry I wasn't here yesterday, he announced. I understand you had a wonderful time learning the subjunctive tense. I was still standing beside his desk, the camera in my hands. He stepped up to the chalkboard, turned, and saw me. Greg, sit the fuck down, okay? He said, we have a lot to do today. I'm tired of your fucking bullshit, camera boy.
But Mr. Sauer,
I protested. I raised the camera. Take your seat, or I'll take your seat, he insisted, winking. I had no choice and didn't fully understand what he meant. I sighed and trudged to my chair near the back of the room. How can I prove that my report was true if you won't even listen to me? I asked myself unhappily. Today, we're going to hear more of your reports about true things that happened to you, Mr. Sauer told the class. He turned to a girl in the front row. Marcy, I believe it's your turn. What's your report about? Marcy stood up.
It's about my cat, Waffles. It's about all the funny things Waffles does around the house.
Which is seriously like a third of this podcast, so I can't make fun of her. I groaned. Boring, I thought. A few other kids groaned too, but Mr. Sauer actually smiled. The first time ever. He practically purred.
I like cats, he told Marcy, like the I Like Turtles kid. I have six of them and no wives. I came out on top in this world. Yay! Six cats, no wives.
Oh, yuck, I thought. Six cats. I can't sit through a boring report about a boring cat, I told myself. I shot my hand in the air.
Mr. Sauer, Mr. Sauer.
The teacher's smile faded. Greg, now what, bitch? He demanded.
Before Marcy starts, I said, can I show you the camera? You know, the one from my report? You said if I brought it in and proved that it's evil, you'd change my grade?
Mr. Sauer rubbed his chin and frowned at me. It's Marcy's turn, he replied coldly. I know we all want to hear about Waffles.
But Mr. Sauer, you promised, I cried.
A few kids snickered at my bitchitude. My voice was so high, only dogs could hear it. Greg, you're not going to change my mind, Mr. Sauer insisted.
But I can prove it, I pleaded. I can prove the camera's evil.
A few more kids snickered. Greg is evil, Donnie shouted, fucking stupidly. It got a big laugh. Greg is bad, some other kid shouted. Possibly Sheep Boy, am I right, because I said bad like that? Doesn't matter, another big laugh. Mr. Sauer slammed the chalkboard with his wooden pointer. Shut the fuck up, everybody, he sighed and motioned me forward. Okay, Greg, 1 minute. It isn't fair to the others to give you extra time, but I will give you 1 minute to show off your camera. 1 minute. I knew that's all I needed. I felt my shirt pocket to make sure I had the snapshot of John inside. I knew that once Sourball saw the photo and heard what happened to John that night, he'd believe it. Come on, Greg, the teacher urged. Get up here. 1 minute. Coming, I said. I eagerly tried to stand up, like Ludacris commanded. Try it again. Again? We have those chairs with the desk attached in the front, and I was stuck in the chair, too fat to get out. Oh no! There's no way they can still have those tables anymore now that all the kids are fat, right? And by the way, once again, I know this is probably after it, but Billy Madison totally stole everything from this.
Chapter 18, yes, chapter 18, what is happening to me?
I wondered, feeling panic creep up from my stomach. That's probably vomit. I've felt that kind of panic before.
My big, blobby stomach. I climbed into this chair without any problem. That was less than an hour ago, and now I'm stuck here. I must have put on 100 pounds while I was sitting here.
Oh my god, Kobayashi, am I right? Greg, we're waiting. Mr. Sauer rolled his eyes and tapped the chalkboard impatiently with the pointer. On the fourth try, I finally managed to slide out of the seat, carrying the camera carefully. I love alliteration. I tromped up to the front of the room. This is the camera, I told Mr. Sauer. My friends and I found it in a deserted house, just as I said in my report. The camera has a curse on it and... He took the camera from my hands and examined it. He rolled it over and over. He brought it up close to his face. He raised the viewfinder to his eye. No, don't! I shrieked, don't take a picture! He lowered the camera. If I don't take a picture, how will I know if the camera is evil or not? I reached into my shirt pocket. I brought a photo, I told him. This will prove I'm telling the truth. My fingers were so fat, I had trouble poking them into the pocket. He needs a pocket picker-upper like Homer needed a phone dialer when he got fat. My hands felt like squishy balls of dough. They were too blobby to make a fist. I nearly pulled the pocket off as I struggled to take out the snapshot of John. Finally, I pulled it out and shoved it in Mr. Sauer's face. Here, look at this shit, teacher bitch! He looked at the snapshot and studied it. That boy is named John. I told him. I took his picture 2 nights ago. He was perfectly okay, but the photo showed him with a nail through his foot. 2 minutes later, that shit came true. John got a nail in his foot, and his dad had to rush him to the hospital. Hey, foot fetish people, this isn't a book about nailing feet, okay? So stop beating off, okay? I'm trying to read some goosebumps here, jabronis. Mr. Sauer burst out laughing. Another first. The first time he'd ever laughed in class. It's not funny, I insisted. Poor John was in so much pain, he... I've seen those trick nails, Mr. Sauer said, his eyes on the photo. Huh? I didn't understand him. He handed the photo back to me. I used to have a fake arrow, he said. When I slid it on, it looked as if an arrow had gone through my head. Oh, Steve Martin wants his bit back, idiot. So I understand how you made it appear that this boy had a nail through his foot. No, it's real, it's real, I cried. Look how much pain John is in. Look at his face. Your friend is a good actor, Mr. Sauer replied. No, I shrieked. He isn't my friend. I don't even know him. You've got to believe me. You've got to. Mr. Sauer glanced up at the clock. Your minute's up. But you promised, I cried. Greg, go sit down, he ordered. Franklin, I'm not yelling that at you. You're laying down next to me. It's totally acceptable. You're not going to fool me with an old camera and a joke snapshot. You lose, Greg, Donnie shouted. You're evil, Greg, Brian chimed in. Everyone laughed. I could feel my face growing hot. I knew I must be beet red. I felt ready to explode. I was embarrassed and hurt and angry all at the same time. I was ambergry. Why didn't you write that in? That's gold. I'd give you an A for effort, Mr. Sauer said cruelly, but I'm still giving you an F on your report. F for fake. And for Franklin. Everybody laughed again. I couldn't take any more. I let out a cry of fury and went running for the door. At least I tried to run, but I was too heavy to move fast. I could only waddle. Greg, where are you going, you fat motherfucker? I heard Mr. Saul call. Mr. Sauer call. Better call Sauer. Oh, wait, whatever. I pretended I didn't hear him and lumbered to the door. I had the camera tucked under one flabby arm. I pulled the door open with the other and bounced out into the silent, empty hall. I could hear Mr. Sauer calling me from the classroom, and I could hear the kids laughing and talking excitedly. I slammed the door shut behind me and kept moving. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have a plan. I was so fucking angry I wanted to scream and cry and punch the walls. I turned the corner and saw Sherry down the hall. Greg? She called, surprised to see me. What's going on? She was wearing a short black skirt over blue tights. She started to run down the hall toward me. She took about 4 steps and then cried out as her skirt fell down. Hey-o! Sally, I think I'm about to have to turn this off while it's getting sexy. I apologize for saying sexy like that. I didn't mean that. I just meant someone's skirt. Forget it. They're kids. I'm sorry. I was joking. Fucking goddamn it. I'll continue this later. Fucking hey. So sensitive. Heyo, I'm back again. Same day. Plans changed. Played a little Saints Row 4, then came right back. Also, that 4 Loko? I know it was all over the news, but that shit does fuck you up. I just had one tall can on a pretty empty stomach, and I'm like, huh. Then again, it is the same, like, percentage as wine. No wonder all those college kids were making horrible decisions. And that goes to show you, kids, don't go to college.
Chapter number 19.
I don't believe this, Sherry wailed. We both stared down at her skirt, which had fallen around her ankles. She dropped her books and bent over to pull it up. Normally, I would have burst out laughing, but she seemed so upset and I was going through puberty. I just stood there, presumably with my backpack in front of my groin. I'm losing weight, she stammered, straightening the skirt around her waist. I weighed myself this morning. I lost 8 pounds. Oh, wow, I shook my head. Why was she losing weight? I tried to cheer her up.
Scarlet, come here.
8 pounds isn't so much, I said. I knew it was lame, but I couldn't think of anything else. Greg, I only weighed 90 to start, she replied sharply. Now I'm down to 82. I can't keep my skirt up. All my clothes hang on me. Maybe if you eat a really big lunch, I started. You're no help, she snapped. Look at me, I cried, holding my arms out so she could see my big stomach. I think I put on 200 pounds overnight. A few minutes ago, I couldn't get out of my chair. By the way, just anyone that's looking for a way to contact human beings, it never consoles someone when you just bring it back to yourself. Of just like, hey, I'm going through some really hard times right now. I need someone to talk to. You're going through some hard times. Well, let me tell you, no one's ever helped out by that shit. Anyway. Her eyes checked me out. She was so upset about being skinny, she hadn't even looked at me. She squinted at me, then she burst out laughing. Oh, gross, you look really weird. Thanks a bunch, I sighed. What are we gonna do? She demanded. What is happening to us? I started to answer, but I heard footsteps approaching from down the hall. Sherry heard them too. Let's go, she urged. Quick, help me pick up my books. I bent to pick up the books, and the back of my jeans burst open with a loud... There's a drinking break here. Now I'm drinking a vodka with club soda and a splash of cranberry. After school, Bird and Michael and some other kids started up a softball game on the diamond behind school. I didn't want to play. I didn't want them to see how huge I was getting. But they pulled me onto the diamond and forced me to play first base. Hey, Gaylord, you're so stupid. Will you play games with us, please? I hate you. I'm going to pants you. You're an idiot. But will you hang out with us? You're so cool. Stupid, insecure bullies. Maybe they won't notice anything different, I thought. I crossed my fingers and hoped. Maybe they wouldn't notice that I filled out a little bit since this morning. My t-shirt was stretched against my bulging stomach. The shirt was so tight, I could barely move my arms. My ripped jeans fit over my legs like tights. It's funny that we remember the weird instances where people, like, mocked us, but no one cares about shit like that. I remember... Like, I used to be super sweaty as a teenager. I don't know if it was, like, just weird puberty shit and whatnot. I'm not as much anymore. But I remember I got some thrift store pants, and I was wearing said thrift store pants. And, like, we were running around doing some shit, and this guy was there. And he wasn't, like, one of the normal groups of friends, but a friend of a friend. And, like, my knees and butt sweat, and it was, like, dark through the pants. It was very embarrassing. But I was like, oh, no. And he, like, pointed and laughed, like... People actually do that? It's uncomfortable. But then later, I heard when he finally had sex with a girl, he cried every time afterwards, and I felt way better about myself. Because I'm like, what? So what? I'm a little sweaty. I can't control that. You should be able to control the fact that you cry after sex, Shane. Maybe they won't notice, I told myself as I tried to trot out to first base. Maybe they won't notice. Hey, Greg, Bird called from the pitcher's mound. Have you been supersizing all your meals? Fucking Bird. Everyone whooped and laughed. A few guys rolled around on the grass, giggling like hyenas. Michael pointed at me. Hey, it's Sumo 3, he yelled. It's Sumo 3 and 4, someone else called out, presumably Dune, because that was a good one. More loud whooping and laughing. Give me a break, I muttered angrily. Give him a lunch break. Michael called. That was a good one, too. It wasn't funny, but everyone laughed anyway. They should. It was funny. Don't be uptight. They gathered around me in a wide circle. It had to be wide, am I right? I added that myself. They shook their heads. Weird, Bird muttered. How do you put on 200 pounds since yesterday? I didn't want to talk about it. Are we going to play ball or what? I demanded. Fatly. I had a strong urge to tell Bert and Michael why I was ballooning up so fast. I wanted to tell them that I had broken, that I had taken out the evil camera, that Sherry had taken my picture, and it showed me weighing at least 400 pounds. And now it was coming true. But I didn't dare tell them. They had warned me not to go back to the Kaufman house, and they had begged me not to take out the camera. If I told them the truth, they'd think I was a total jerk. So I kept my mouth shut and tried to concentrate on the game. I did pretty well until I went to bat the third inning. I hit the ball over the second baseman's head and trotted to first base with a single. I was totally out of breath by the time I reached the base, but the ball was still rolling around in the outfield. "Keep running!" my teammate shouted. "Greg, go to second!" So huffing and puffing and wheezing and vaping, I lifted my heavy legs and made my way to second. "Slide! Slide!" everyone was shouting. So I slid into second safe. And then I couldn't get off my back, like some super fat turtle. I wasn't strong enough to pick up my heavy body. I must have looked like Humpty Dumpty, I realized, or Humpty Hump, who once made love in a Burger King bathroom. I tried rolling, I tried rocking back and forth, and then I tried calling my friends for help. Ooh, another drinking break. I was exhausted by the time I'd pulled my huge body into my house. Sweat poured off my forehead and rolled down my cheeks and chins. My clothes were stretched so tight I could barely breathe. My jeans were ripped, my shirt pressed against my skin. Even my sneakers pinched my feet. Ugh, fat feet, that's gross. This is horrible! I've got to get into something comfortable, I decided. Ooh, a little negligee. I remembered my huge baggy shorts, the one I wore to go bike riding the other day. I carried my bulky body over to the dresser, bent over with a groan, and pulled out the big shorts. I tugged them on, eager to get comfortable. Tugged. Tugged harder, then gasped in horror. The huge baggy shorts were skin tight. Ew, it's like in 2005 when there's a bunch of scene kids and the fat ones still wore girl jeans and they looked all gross and bunched up and it was disgusting. Ew. Chapter motherfucking 20, yeah. I put on nearly 300 pounds that day. By evening, I could barely walk. "It's an allergic reaction," Mom said. I stared at her. "Excuse me? What's that? You ate something you're allergic to," she answered. "A person doesn't swell up like a balloon overnight." Dad squinted at me. He was trying to look cool, but I could see how worried he was. "Do you eat a lot of candy bars after school?" he asked. Mom shook her head at Dad. "He could eat 1,000 candy bars a day. It wouldn't make him this huge," she declared, not knowing how many candy bars 1,000 is, because once again, women in math, am I right? "We'd better take him to an allergy doctor," Dad murmured, rubbing his chin. "We'll take him to Dr. Weiss first," Mom argued. "Dr. Weiss can tell us what kind of doctor to take him to." They started to argue about what kind of doctor I needed. I waddled out of the room. It took all of my strength to raise my enormous legs. My chin sagged down over my neck. My big stomach bounced out of the room ahead of me. "Huh? Once again, Eddie Murphy?" He's just like, "Yo, Nutty Professor, let's just make everyone fat, and then we'll do Norman, and we'll make people fat, and I'll just be put on fat suits. That's comedy, right? Remember when I was funny in the 80s? No? Damn. He played a donkey." I knew that no doctor could help me. I knew I didn't have an allergy, and I knew I didn't become a blimp because of candy bars. The snapshot from the evil camera made me look as big as a mountain. And the snapshot had come true. No doctor could slim me down. No diet could work. Later, I begged Mom and Dad to let me stay home. "Please don't make me go to school tomorrow like this," I pleaded. "The kids will laugh at me. I'll be so embarrassed." "You can't miss school," Dad insisted. "If you go to school, the kids will bully you. You'll learn to lose weight. You'll get a chip on your shoulder. You'll work harder in life, and that's how you succeed." What if it takes weeks and weeks to get back to normal? Dad also included after Dune's diatribe. The kids won't laugh at you, Mom added. Your friends will understand that you're sick. I begged and whined. I even got down on my fat knees to plead with them. But would they listen? No. There's a drinking break here, so I'm going to drink because I have to. But it's also funny to me that the mom in shows are always like, you know, if they make fun of you, they're not your real friends. When it's like, what? Mom, you're like 20 years away from being a catty teenage bitch. It's not like teenage girls aren't all just angry and fucking talking shit about everyone. How do you not remember that, parents? Am I going to forget that when I make kids with my dick? Or am I just going to be like, look, I don't want you to stay home. I have to go to work. No one will make fun of you. Of course they're going to make fun of you. Don't be embarrassed, Dad said as I waddled out to the door to go to school the next morning. Don't be embarrassed. I wore one of his baggy running suits, and it was tight on me, like one of those, you know, no-name guys from The Sopranos. I felt embarrassed just walking down the street. When cars drove past, I knew the people inside were staring at me, laughing at the big mound of jello walking along the sidewalk. I didn't want to go to school, but my parents have a Honda Civic, and I didn't fit in the car. Okay, seriously, if you can't fit in a fucking automobile, your parents should be taking you to some sort of specialist immediately. Especially in one day. Kids were staring as I squeezed through the front door of Pitt's Landing Middle School, but everyone was kind. No one made jokes. In fact, no one said a word to me. I think they were afraid to come up to me. Afraid I might fall on them. I really did look like one of the balloons in the Thanksgiving Day Parade. You can mention Macy's. Give them a free plug. They spent all that money to put on that goddamn parade. Mention Macy's. I'm going to mention Macy's. Everyone go shop at Macy's because they make those balloons. I'm not going to shop at Macy's. I don't have that kind of money. If I did, I would be getting the fucking gold teeth. You know, we already went over this. Someone pay for my teeth. Also, buy me a webcam so I can do give yourself goosebumps on YouTube. The webcam I have is comical. It's one of those like completely spherical ones from like the 90s. The morning went well. I kept to myself and tried to hide in corners. It wasn't easy to hide, but everyone left me alone. Until I stepped into Mr. Sour's class. He was as sour as ever. And he embarrassed me in front of the whole class. Greg, I don't think you'll fit into a chair, he said, rolling his wooden pointer between his hands. Why don't you just stand by the window? I didn't say anything. I waddled over to the side of the room. The room fell silent. The other kids didn't laugh. They could see that there was something seriously wrong with me. But Mr. Sour insisted on giving me a hard time. Greg, forget the window, he said. If you stand there, I'm afraid you'll block out all the sunlight. Then he smiled. Oh, what a jerk. He's like, oh, yo, are you Mr. Burns's plan? Are you going to block out the sunlight because you're fat? You fucking ham planet. Again, no one laughed. I think the other kids felt very sorry for me. Even Donnie and Brian weren't cracking jokes. Greg, I want you to go see the nurse, Mr. Sour ordered. I want her to discuss the four food groups with you. I think you've been eating too much of all four. Damn, that teacher's fucking brutal. Also, there has to be more than four food groups, right? There's liquor, burritos, pizza, seafood. I'm trying to think of the other one. Oh, chicken wings. There you go. That's five right there. Anyway, I think that was supposed to be a cruel joke, but no one laughed. I turned my bulk around and stared at the motherfucker. Was he serious? Was he really sending me to the nurse? Get going, Tubby Tub Tub, he said, pointing to the door. I turned and shuffled heavily out of the classroom. I expected Donnie to stick out his big foot and try and trip me, the way he always does, but he stared straight ahead, as silent and still as everyone in the class. I was glad. If he tripped me, I knew I would never be able to get up. I pulled myself down the hall, thinking angry thoughts about Mr. Sour. Why'd he make fun of me in front of everyone? Why was he so cruel? What am I, the listener's mom? Oh, that's you. You're listening. Yo mama is so fat that R.L. Stine had to rent her for like an afternoon to come up with adjectives to call this fat kid. As inspiration and shit. I don't know. Your mom's fat. That's my point. I couldn't answer my questions. Besides, I felt too angry to think clearly. I'll pay that motherfucker back someday. That's what I told myself. I'll do something mean to him. I'll embarrass old Sourball in front of everybody. My angry thoughts followed me to the nurse's office, but I instantly forgot them when I saw the girl huddled in the chair in the waiting room. I stopped outside the door and gaped at her in shock. Sherry! It took me a few seconds to recognize her. Her jeans and t-shirt appeared to be about 10 sizes too big. Her arms were as thin as toothpicks. Her face was pale and puckered. Her head had shrunk. It looked like a tiny lemon on her frail, noodle-like body. Body. We can do this, dude. Stupid Four Loko. That's what I'm blaming.
Greg,
she whispered weakly.
Is that you in that big body?
Sherry, I cried. How much weight have you lost?
I don't know,
she stammered.
Look at me. I'm shrinking away. I'm so light. It took me hours to walk to school this morning because the wind kept pushing me back.
Are you sick? I cried. She frowned at me.
I'm not sick, and neither are you,
she replied in a tiny, frail voice.
I'm shrinking away, and you're bloating up. It's because of those photos we took.
I sighed and lifted my huge stomach with both hands so I could get through the doorway.
What are we going to do, Sherry? I whispered. It's those photos. You're right. But what are we going to do?
Maybe they'll bring this up in the next chapter, but could they possibly destroy them? That seems like a reasonable thing to do. You know, they're the things making them all cuckoo bananas, right? We'll figure this out, won't we?
Chapter number 21.
Dad picked me up after school. He had rented a van since I couldn't fit in the seat of the car.
Really? You couldn't fit in the car, so we rented a fucking van?
Maybe you shouldn't have gone to school. My dad's a roofer, so he could have brought a roofing truck. That, if I ever get that fat, which I'm planning to. Sever, stupid Franklin needs to be walked like 3 times a day. Or more. He's getting old now. I did the math and realized Franklin's at least like 9 years old, which is, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot for a little dog. Anyway, Dad helped me squeeze the door. My body took up the entire back seat. The seatbelt wouldn't stretch over my stomach, so we had to forget about it. I wish Kevin Smith would have forgot when the seatbelt didn't fit over his stomach when he wanted special treatment for taking up 2 seats like a fatty fat shit. I'm sure Dr. Weiss will have you back to normal in no time, Dad said. He was trying to be cheerful, but I could tell he was really upset and worried. He drove slowly to Dr. Weiss's office across town. The van couldn't pick up much speed because of all the weight it carried. Me! Dr. Weiss is a nice, elderly man with bright blue eyes and a long mane of white hair. He talks to all the kids as if they're 2-year-olds. He still gives me a lollipop after each visit, even though I'm 12. All I remember about my pediatrician is he used to call me Tiger, which doesn't describe me at all. He should have called me, "Hey, stop talking so much, drunkie," when I was, like, 6. But I didn't think he'd give me a lollipop today. He tisk-tisked as I climbed on the scale. But he couldn't get my weight. The scale didn't go high enough! He had trouble listening to my heartbeat. His stethoscope got stuck in the folds of flab over my chest. Damn. That dude's gonna have some crazy-ass fucking stretch marks. It's gonna look like he got shocked by lightning dozens of times. Like he went up there and all tubby and tried to fight Raiden or some shit. He took all kinds of tests. His expression, tense and thoughtful. "We'll send the blood samples to the lab," he told me. "We should have some answers in a few days. He shook his head and frowned. His blue eyes appeared to fade. "I've never seen anything like it, Greg," he said softly. "I'm completely stumped." Just like your kid's limbs will have to be if he gets diabetes. Anyway, I'm going to drink this cocktail because there's a drinking break. Good job, R.L. Stein. I wasn't stumped. I knew exactly what the problem was. As soon as I got home, I lumbered to my room, like a big-ass tree, right, and grabbed the phone. It took all my strength to raise my huge flabby arm and hold the receiver up to the bulging flesh of my face. I punched in Sherry's number. It took 3 tries. My finger was so fat, it kept hitting 2 numbers at once. Yes, I made that reference earlier. Need a dialing wand. She answered on the 3rd ring.
Hello?
Her voice floated out so tiny and weak I could barely hear her.
I'm coming over, I announced, and I'm bringing the camera.
You don't have to shout,
she squeaked, and then she added,
Hurry, Greg. I've lost 5 more pounds. I'm so light. I'm afraid I'm going to float away.
I'll be there. Be there and shit, I told her. We'll figure out a way to save ourselves.
Because apparently that's how fat people talk, but I've heard Ralphie May and they talk in weird, high-pitched, annoying voices. I hung up the phone. Then I carefully dug the camera out of its hiding place in my underwear drawer. I had to bend over to reach into the drawer. I was huffing and puffing, gasping for breath. If I get any fatter, I'll explode, I thought unhappily. Carefully gripping the camera, I lowered my bulk down the stairs.
I'm going to Sherry's.
I called to my parents. They were in the den discussing what Mr. Weiss had told Dad. It's starting to rain, Mom called. Take an umbrella.
I'm only going next door,
I shouted back. Besides, an umbrella wouldn't cover all of me. I peeked outside. It was only drizzling. Not much of a rain at all. I tucked the camera under the folds of my arm, pulled open the door, and started to step out. But I stopped when I saw the dark-haired boy walking up the driveway. John!
Oh, no! I murmured.
I knew why he had come. He wanted his camera back, but I couldn't give it back. I needed to save Sherry and me. I watched him walking slowly, his head down because of the rain. That's how you walk in the rain. You keep your head down, you look morose, and you shoot a music video. What am I going to do? I asked myself. I can't let him take this camera back. I can't. I'll duck back inside and hide. Where are you going to hide, Totoro? Fucking nowhere. I decided to back up. Tried to back my heavy bulk into the house. Too late. John saw me. Yeah, no shit. Fucking shitty-ass Soviet satellites from the fucking 50s saw you. You're fat, boy. Oh, you're fat.
Chapter 22.
He waved to me and started jogging toward the house. I had the camera in my hand. I carefully lowered it to the porch and stepped in front of it. I knew it would be hidden behind my enormous elephantitis-y body. But what was I going to say to John? How could I convince him to let me keep the camera for a little while longer? Hi, he called. Hi, I answered. Oh, sorry,
hi.
That was the voice I was doing, somewhat. My voice muffled by the thick folds of flab around my face. I'm looking for a boy who lives around here, John said, stepping up to the porch. His name is Greg, and he's blonde, and he's about my age. Do you know him? He has a camera of mine. I stared at him. My mouth dropped open. I could feel my chins drop onto my chest, and presumably my chest onto my gut onto my dong into my butthole, and that's where it stayed. What's his name?
What's his name?
I choked out. Greg, John repeated. I don't know his last name. Does he live around here? He doesn't recognize me, I realized. I'm so huge, he doesn't even know that it's me.
Yeah, I think I know who you mean, I told him. There's a kid named Greg who lives over there.
I pointed up the street. Do you know which house? John asked, turning to where I pointed.
It's about 4 blocks that way, I lied. A big red brick house. You can't miss that motherfucker. It's only...
Jesus, talking slower somehow makes it so I can't read as well.
You can't miss it. It's the only brick house on the block.
Hey, thanks, John said. The rain started to come down harder. He turned quickly and jogged down the driveway. A close call, I thought. I felt bad about lying to John, but I had to lie. I couldn't give him back the camera, ever. It was too dangerous. I watched him until he disappeared behind some hedges. Then I reached my flabby hand down, picked up the camera, and bounced across the front yard to Sherry's house. Ooh, drinking break. Water first. Then cocktail. Sherry greeted me at her front door. I could see the shock in her eyes when she saw how huge I had become. I was shocked, too. I cried out in surprise. She was starting to look like a stick figure. As she led the way down to her room, she kept tripping over the cuffs of her jeans, which sagged down over her feet. She had tied a knot in the belt around her tiny waist, an attempt to keep the jeans from falling off. What kind of fucking parents are these? That they're just like, eh, our daughter looks like she just got out of Auschwitz, but, I don't know. We'll go to a doctor some other day. Nah, just tighten a knot. You'll be fine with that belt. Like, what the fuck? Parents, go handle this shit. They could have, like, millions of parasites. If I get any smaller, I'll have to wear doll clothes, she wailed, imitating Vern Troyer. Did your parents take you to a doctor? I asked, huffing and puffing as I tried to drag my weight after her. Of course, she replied in her tiny, weak voice. The doctor said to make me drink milkshakes 5 times a day.
I wish my doctor said that, I sighed.
Maybe that's how you got in the situation. Because magic or not, you know, if you put in more calories than you burn, you get fat, right? Right? That's exactly right. Your doctor should not tell you to drink milkshakes. I can go for a milkshake, though. I lowered myself carefully onto her bed. I didn't want the bed to collapse under me, but as soon as I sat down, I heard a crushing sound. The sound of wood splintering in the bed crashed loudly to the floor.
Don't worry about it, Sherry said softly. I don't have enough strength to climb up to bed anyway.
If I get any better, I moaned,
I won't be able to get in the house. I really won't fit through the door. Why is it harder for me to read slower? What's wrong with me?
Probably the booze.
She folded her hands in front of her. Her fingers were so skinny. They looked like bird claws. They're called talons, idiot. With her black hair hanging down from her tiny round head and her straight pull of a body, she looked more like a mop than a person. Like a Muppet.
What are we going to do?
She wailed. I patted the camera with a fat, spongy hand.
I brought this, I said. I thought maybe.
What good will that stupid camera do? Sherry cried. I wish I'd never seen it. Never, never.
What if there's a camera and you open it up and there's a setting and it says evil and one says good and then they take pictures and they get all in shape and stuff and then win the lottery, the end by doom.
I have an idea, I told her. I flicked a fly off one of my chins. She hugged herself, wrapping her skinny arms around her toothpick body. What kind of idea?
Let's take new pictures of ourselves, I said.
Maybe the new pictures will show us looking normal. Maybe the new pictures will change us back to the way we were before. She raised her eyes to mine. I could see her thinking about it, thinking hard. It's kind of risky, isn't it?
She said finally. Do you have a better idea?
I asked. She thought hard again. Then she lowered her eyes to the camera.
Okay, she agreed.
Let's do it.
Ooh, R.L. Stein owes Nike some money.
Chapter 23. I struggled to climb to my feet, but my arms and legs were barely strong enough to push up my huge body. Before I could move, Sherry flew across the room. She grabbed the camera from my lap. Oh, she cried out as she nearly dropped it. It feels so heavy.
That's because you're so light, I told her like grimace.
I tried again to lift my bulk off the bed and failed. Sit still, Sherry ordered. I'll take your picture first.
Okay, I agreed. I hope the new photo shows me skinny.
I tried to cross my fingers, but they were too fat to cross.
Ew. That's like that should be like a new Christian movement.
Just too fat to cross. You can't keep us out of churches because we're fat.
I don't know what I'm getting at here.
Say cheese, Sherry said, aiming the camera at me.
Don't be funny, I snapped. Just take the picture.
She stared through the viewfinder, raised her finger over the shutter button. Then she lowered the camera with a sigh. It's too dangerous, she stammered.
Sherry, take my goddamn picture, I insisted. Look at us. We couldn't be any worse off, could we?
She nodded in agreement. Then, with a sigh, Dune drank water. After burping Four Loko into a water cup. Then, with a sigh, she raised the cup to her eye. Cup! Camera! God damn it, Dune! It felt so heavy in her skinny arms. She had to hold it up with both hands. Here goes, she said softly. I hope it shows you normal again, Greg. She snapped the picture. The flash made me blink. A second later, the white square slid out from the front of the camera. She carried it over to the bed and dropped it lightly down beside me.
Let's see it,
I cried, eagerly grabbing for it.
Careful, Sherry warned. If you fall over, you'll crush me. I gasped. She was right. Sitting next to me could be extremely dangerous.
Maybe you'd better stand up, I suggested.
She climbed to her feet, swaying because she wasn't used to being so light. It's starting to develop, she announced, just like I was prior to turning into this skinny girl. Now it's like a washboard there. There's nothing sexual about that. She held the snapshot in front of me so we could both watch it. The yellow filled in first. I squinted to see if I could make out my face.
Was I fat in the photo or back to normal?
The yellow was too pale. I couldn't see my face at all. Sherry and I were both frozen there, staring at the small square, not moving a muscle, not blinking, watching it darken. And suddenly, I could see myself. My huge, blobby face. My round, balloon body. Still enormous. Still enormously fat.
No!
I let out a long cry of horror.
No! I want to be changed back.
I can't do that anymore. I'm going to get lightheaded and pass out onto the keyboard and subsequently the mic. Sherry was shaking her tiny head sadly, still staring at the darkening photo.
What's that on your face?
She cried. Yuck! I grabbed the snapshot from her and held it close.
Oh no! I groaned. My skin, it's all scaly. I look like an alligator or something.
Sherry grabbed back the photo and studied it.
The scaly stuff is on your arms, too, she said. It looks like reptile skin or some gross shit.
That's the eczema shit I always see in commercials. And as she said that, I started to itch. I glanced down and saw red scales covering my arms. Itchy red patches. I started to scratch. Scratch patch. But the scratching made the scales itch even more. My skin flaked off under my fingernails. Ah, yuck! I moaned. It itches so bad. I scratched my arms. Then I scratched my face. More dry skin peeled off as I scratched. Chunks of skin. Sherry took a step back. She let the new photo fall to the carpet.
Oh, this is horrible, she declared. You're still huge, and now all your skin is cracking off.
Ew. He shouldn't put any of that information on his Tinder profile, am I right? Tinder's how young people have sex, right? I don't know how life works anymore.
Oh, my back itches so bad, I wailed, but I can't reach it.
I'm not going to scratch it for you, Sherry declared. It's fucking gross. I pulled a chunk of scaly red skin off the back of my hand.
Do you want me to take a picture of you? I asked Sherry. Maybe you'll have better luck.
No fucking way, she cried. She took another few steps back. No new picture. It will only make things worse. Her face twisted in disgust. She swallowed hard. I'm sorry, Greg, she choked out. But you look so gross. I think I'm going to be sick.
Ooh, she's trying to flirt with him. I've heard women say similar things.
I tried to scratch the back of my neck, but my arms were too fat. I couldn't reach back there. I rubbed my forehead. A big chunk of skin dropped off and bounced on the carpet. Let's just rip up the photos, Sherry declared.
Huh?
I gaped at her. She bent down to pick up the scaly new picture of me. Let's rip them all up, she urged. I'll bet as soon as we rip them up, our bodies will return to normal. Hey, Sherry, where'd you get that idea, bitch?
Did you get it from Dune?
Of course you did. Dune fucking rules. I stopped my frantic scratching for a moment.
Do you think so? Do you think that's all we have to do?
Maybe, Sherry replied. It's worth a try, don't you think? I pulled the first two photos from my pocket. The negative of Sherry, and the first fat photo of me.
I'll rip these two up, I said. You tear that one. We'll see what happens.
We both held the photos up. I started to tear mine, then stopped.
Maybe if we rip them up, we'll disappear completely. Like Back to the Future, I exclaimed.
Sherry and I stared at each other. Our hands stayed in the air, ready to tear the snapshots to pieces. Should we do it? Stop ending chapters with questions if there's no give-yourself-goosebump-style responses. Just don't do it. It's gonna go on to the next chapter. Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah, chapter 24, saying yeah to get myself in the mood. Yeah, no!
It's funny that was the first word. As I clicked over,
no, Sherry cried, don't do it.
We both lowered the snapshots. You're right, I said. My whole body was shaking. It's too dangerous. If we tear the photos to pieces, we might be torn to pieces too, Sherry said, referencing apparently voodoo dolls and not pictures that are cursed. Idiot.
Or we might disappear completely and never come back.
I shuddered. Let's not talk about what might happen to us, I moaned.
Look at us. What could be worse?
A lot of things, Sherry sighed. We'll think of something to save ourselves, Greg.
We just have to think positive.
I stared at her.
What did you say?
I said, think positive. What, are your ears fat too, you fucking idiot?
Think positive. Sherry, you just gave me and my fat brain a good idea.
I cried. Yeah, people are always crying. It's because of the estrogen. Also, there's a drinking break. That's why I'm drinking. That's the only reason I'm drinking, apparently.
We carried the snapshots to Kramer's, the photo store where my brother works.
It wasn't easy to walk there. I had to stop to catch my breath every few steps.
And I had to scratch my scaly, peely skin. And I had to hold on to Sherry to keep the wind from blowing that bitch away.
The walk was only about 8 blocks, but it took us more than an hour.
When we finally stepped inside the store, my heart sank to my knees. I didn't see Terry.
He's in the developing lab, Mr. Kramer told me. He kept staring at Sherry and me.
I guess we look pretty weird. A stick figure and an elephant.
I pulled Sherry to the lab in the back of the store and knocked on the door.
I love sentences that rhyme. I'm simple. Sorry, that makes me happy.
You can't just open the door and walk into the developing lab. If you let the light in, you destroy the film in there.
We waited about 5 minutes.
Then Terry came out.
At first, he didn't recognize me. I think he forgot that I had put on 400 pounds in the last few days.
Yeah, fuck, what happened to your skin, Greg? He demanded, making a disgusted face.
Have you got a rash or something?
I don't know, I said gloomily. Can you do me a favor, Terry?
He shrugged.
What's the favor? I held up the first two snapshots. The negative of Sherry and the positive of me weighing a fucking ton.
Can you reverse these for us?
I asked. He squinted at two squares for a long while.
I don't get you, he said finally.
I sighed. Can you take the negative and make a positive out of it?
Can you take the positive and make a negative?
You know, turning a frown upside down? That sort of thing. Sherry let out a sharp cry. She realized what my plan was.
Maybe if we reverse the pictures, it would reverse our bodies.
Terry would make a positive of Sherry's negative. That's just fucking weird rhyming. And she'd grow back to her normal size.
Then he'd make a negative of my picture, and I'd shrink the way Sherry had.
It seemed to make sense. Was it worth a try?
Definitely.
Terry took the two snapshots. He studied them closely.
He scratched his head.
I guess I could do it, he said, but I'm really busy here. When do you need it?
Now! Sherry and I both cried,
like jerks. It's always the people that don't have money that are yelling at you, am I right?
Terry stared at us, then down at the two photos. I scratched the back of my neck.
My arm. I thought you said you couldn't scratch it because your arms couldn't reach it.
Okay. Continuity, R.L. Stine, never heard of it?
Anyway, I scratched the back of my neck. My arms were so fat, I could barely lift them that high. In a few hours, I knew I'd be too heavy to walk. Someone would have to wheel me around in a wheelbarrow. No, make that two wheelbarrows. Like Dune needs for his enormous balls! Oh!
Gross. I like how people talk about having huge balls like it's a good thing. It's repulsive. I already discussed it. Exterior genitalia is gross. Anyway.
Please?
I begged.
I just don't have time, Terry said. I'll give you my allowance for the next 2 months, I cried.
Okay, I guess I can find the time. It's a deal, Terry replied. Wait out here. He disappeared into the lab. We stood outside the door and waited, just like Dre who disappeared into the lab to make relapse. And what happened?
Oh, we waited like 15 years. What happened?
Nothing. His son just got killed and there's no new music, Dr. Dre. And waited. And waited! The longest half hour of my life.
Mr. Kramer kept staring back at us from the front corner. Sherry and I tried to ignore him. I wanted to sit down. Carrying so much weight made my feet hurt, but I was afraid if I took a seat, I'd break it, and I wouldn't be able to get back up. So, Sherry and I stood outside the door of the lab and thought about this new plan. Would it work? Would reversing the photos reverse us? Finally, the door swung open, and Terry stepped out that motherfucker. Here, he grunted. He handed me the new prints. Don't forget what you said about your allowance.
I won't, I promised.
Thanks, Terry. I gazed at the new prints. Terry had done it right. A positive of Sherry, smiling into the camera, and a negative of me, weighing 400 fucking pounds. Now get lost, Terry said, glancing up to the front desk. Go ahead, beat it, before you make me lose my job. I took Sherry's hand and started to pull her to the front of the store. Poor Sherry. She really did feel light as a feather.
Stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
That's a Kraft reference, and it's also what I yell every time I'm trying to get an erection. I just look down at my penis and go, light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. And will also last more than 2 minutes. She looked even paler and skinnier than when we came into the store. Her hand felt like brittle bones. We stepped out of the store and stopped on the corner. I held the new prints up so we could both see them.
Is it working?
I asked her. Do you feel any different?
Not yet, she replied softly.
Neither do I. I moaned. We stared at the new prints and waited. We stood in the corner for at least half an hour, staring and waiting, waiting to feel different, waiting for our bodies to change. But nothing happened. We didn't change at all.
We're doomed, I muttered sadly. Doomed!
A chunk of skin peeled off my forehead and dropped to the sidewalk. I assume a stray dog ate it while making eye contact with him the whole time.
Chapter 25.
The next morning, I woke up early, before my alarm. I stretched and yawned. Then, I turned and struggled to pull my huge fucking fat-ass body out of bed.
Heave ho! I cried, straining every muscle.
Hey, he ain't gonna be heaving many hoes with that body. Oh, burn! And I went flying across the room. Ow! I groaned as I hit the wall. I bounced off, dropped to the floor, bounced up again. What is going on? I cried out loud and scrambled to the mirror and stared at the reflection of my old face, my old body. No folds of saggy flesh, no puffed out cheeks or bulging balloon of a belly. Me. I was back. Back again. Back to being a 12-year-old boy. Which isn't very great, isn't very great, isn't very great, isn't very great. I squeezed my arms, I rubbed my face, I pulled my hair, I felt so happy to see myself. I leaped onto the bed and started jumping up and down, tossing up my arms, and whooping and cheering at the top of my lungs like juggalos. It worked, it worked! Reversing the photo had reversed me. Yay! I let out a cheer for myself. Mom and Dad burst into the room, still in their bathrobes and possibly erect. Frightening expressions on their faces. Greg, what's wrong? And then they both froze with bulging eyes and open mouths. Mom uttered a squeaky surprise. Dad goggled at me in the shocked silence. You again? Mom stammered finally. You. Dad struggled to say something, but he couldn't. He pointed a finger at me and stuttered. Wait a minute. If you just lost 400 pounds overnight, just basic physics, where'd it go? Is there a mountain, like, Jurassic Park sick dinosaur pile of shit going on? Or, you know, they always say, like, you breathe it out as carbon, but you can't breathe out 400 pounds of carbon into one room with bad ventilation. Where is all this fatty fat shit? And then, they both rushed over and wrapped me in a tight hug. I knew it was something you ate, Mom said, said happily. Some kind of food poisoning. Just an allergic reaction, Dad added, finally able to speak. I knew you'd be fine in a day or two. We knew you'd be fine, Mom declared. Always trying to claim other people's ideas. Yeah, me too, I said. What a lie. You were very good during all of this trouble, Greg, Mom said, wiping away a tear from her eye with the back of her hand. You had such a good attitude. Yeah, well, I'm always trying to think positive, I told her. What a jabroni. You should always think negative and then be happily surprised when stuff works out. Oh, also, there's a drinking break. See? I'm happily surprised it worked out that I could drink alcohol. I gobbled down my breakfast and hurried next door to Sherry's house. As I ran up to the back door, she stepped out, grinning, waving her arms in the air in triumph. It worked, Greg! She cried happily. She came running toward me, her black hair flying behind her, laughing and cheering. Back to normal! Back to normal! Whooping and shouting, the two of us did a wild, back to normal dance in the backyard. When we stopped to catch our breath, Sherry turned to me. We'd better hurry. We're going to be late for school. I can't wait to show everyone that I'm me again. Me too, I cried. But wait right here. I have to get something in my room. I'll be right back. I turned and started jogging quickly across the grass to my house. What are you getting? Sherry called, following me. The camera, I shouted back. She ran faster, caught up with me, grabbed my shoulders, and pulled me to stop. Greg, the camera? Why do you need the camera? I narrowed my eyes at her. My expression turned serious. I lowered my voice to a whisper.
For revenge,
I replied. Oh, what a fucking asshole. Isn't just being able to move good enough for you? But no, you gotta get revenge. Such a jabroni. Done with him.
Chapter 26. Greg, don't, Sherry pleaded, like a rational human being.
I ignored her. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I had to do. I ran into the house, took the stairs two at a time up to my room, pulled the camera from its hiding place, and hurried back outside. Sherry was waiting for me on the sidewalk. Greg, this is crazy. It's so crazy Britney Spears wrote a song about it. Just kidding, she can't write songs. Some old fucking Jewish dude wrote a song about it. But still, she insisted, what are you gonna do? I couldn't stop an evil smile from spreading across my face. I'm gonna take Mr. Sauer's picture, I told her.
No,
she gasped. Greg, you can't. Watch me, I replied, still grinning.
But she sputtered.
I started walking towards school, taking long strides. I gripped the camera tightly in both hands.
Greg, something terrible will happen, Sherry protested.
I know, I said, unable to stop grinning. Old Sourball deserves it.
But Greg,
she tried to stop me, but I jogged faster, moving away from her.
He deserves it, I repeated. He refused to believe a true story. He called me a liar in front of the whole class, and he gave me an F, for a really good report. But Greg...
That's all Sherry can say, because that's a legitimate point. Sherry started. I didn't let her get a word in. I was too worked up. The closer we came to school, the more excited I got about my revenge plan. He's going to ruin my whole summer, I continued, and he's wrong. Wrong. Wrong! And then I got so huge, Sourball... Sorry. And then, when I got so huge, Sourball was really cruel. He made jokes about me in front of everyone. He embarrassed me, Sherry. He totally embarrassed me. Greg, he wanted to hurt my feelings, I declared. I could see our school through the trees in the next block. He wanted to embarrass me in front of the whole class. He deserves what he's going to get. So what are you going to do? She demanded breathlessly. I stopped at the corner. He dared me to prove that the camera's evil, huh? So I'm going to prove it and get my revenge at the same time. Ooh, it's the last chapter and is a drinking break. Win-win. I'm going to drink and finish this. By the way, this falls under the, does it make you money and does it make you happy? I know some people say revenge makes them happy, but, you know, not in the long run. Anyway, I'm going to finish this cocktail. I'm going to finish this book because I'm so goddamn good at Goosebumps. I slipped into class just as the final bell rang. The other kids were already in their seats, just getting quiet. Mr. Sour had his back turned. He was writing something on the chalkboard. I stepped up behind that motherfucker and waited for him to turn around. My heart thudded in my chest. My hands were shaking. I could barely hold the camera. I took a deep breath and held it. It was my big moment, my big chance. Mr. Sour? I called softly. He spun around, as if I had shouted. Greg, he cried, you're looking very slender. I ignored his words. I raised the camera to my eye. Time for revenge, I thought. I brought the camera, motherfucker, I told him. My voice came out high and shrill. Remember the camera from my report? You asked me to prove that it's evil, so here it goes. I centered his startled face in the viewfinder. I raised my finger over the shutter button. He grabbed the camera from my hands. Oh, yes, the evil camera, he declared, staring down at it. Don't waste it on me. Let's take everyone's picture. No, I cried. He waved his hand. Donnie and Brian moved in closer. Then he shoved me in front of him. Get in the shot, Greg. No, I pleaded. Mr. Sour, no. Say cheese, everyone. The camera flashed. The picture came out of the fucking camera. Mr. Sour smiled at me. I think I've got everyone in the class in the shot, he said. Now, what's going to happen? I swallowed hard. We'll see, I replied. We'll see. The end. Fuck that. God damn it. I don't know if Say Cheese and Die was a classic, but it was definitely one of the ones that people remember, even more so than Welcome to Dead House, which was the first one. Fuck that ending. I'm Dune. I'm reading Goosebumps. I'm trying to get as much up as I can before the movie comes out, despite the fact that I have other things to record. I still have to Photoshop the picture and put it up like I like to do before the girlfriend gets home. So I'm going to try to do that shit, and we'll see how it goes. Anyway, I'm Dylan. You can reach me where you can reach me. I'll respond. If you just sent your address, I will respond to them shipping out shit. That's all. Anyway, you know what you can do, right? Of course you do. You can stay spooky, bitches.